Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Clash of Two Families.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about why is there so much division in the world? Think about that, how much strife there is in the world between peoples, how much enmity. People seem to be against each other all over the place, in great conflict in our world today with hot emotions and sharp words and strong convictions on both sides of issues. Well, today, let's talk about why is there so much division in the world today? I mean, after all, we're all human, right? Can't we just get along? Can't we just live in peace and harmony with each other? Why do we have to have all this division and conflict and fighting in the world? Today, let's see what God says to us about that in His Word. Why can't we all just get along on the earth together, all the peoples? What is the reason for all this division? And especially, how should we as Christians view the world and understand all the division that's in the world today? What's God tell us about that, about all the enmity in the world between peoples, that we have a right understanding of it, and then also, therefore, go through the world the more valiantly and not shaken by the troubles at all? Let's take a look at that and see what we can say. Why is there so much strife, and how do we deal with it? Well, first of all, there's a whole lot of strife in the world today, isn't there? Oh my goodness, the division, the enmity, the hot emotions on both sides of issues, the sharp words and the conviction that are spoken from both sides. There's great division all over the place, in our country, in the world, in our communities. Think of, for example, the sanctity of life versus abortion. That's a huge one, isn't it? Now that we have Roe v. Wade potentially overturned after 50 years of killing, one side, namely us, we're like, hooray, liberty, we're saving the children finally. On the other side, they're pulling out their hair. They're going crazy, they're going nuts, they're throwing temper tantrums, they're stomping around. Did you see Elizabeth Warren, of the senator of Massachusetts, when she heard about this? She's storming about, saying, I've never been so angry in my whole life. Those Republicans, they've been scheming for decades to do this, and now they're finally doing it. They're going to start saving babies around the country. I've never been so angry. So there's one side rejoicing in life, the other wants death. It's true. Then you have other things like, you know, gender, which would seem to all used to agree on, man and woman. Now it's like, we believe, our side, that there's a male and there's a female. The other side, it's like, I don't know, what are they up to, 400 plus genders now or something? They have the plus because they don't even know how many they have. And that's a huge division. In fact, recently our Florida government said you can't groom or teach children sexual confusion and perversion and such from kindergarten to first grade. Does that sound reasonable? To us? Yeah. Hooray. Liberty, parental rights. The other side, like Disney, unfortunately, who should be for children, they're not. And they're like, we'll fight this tooth and nail. We're coming after you, oh government. To which, of course, our governor and government basically said, really? Okay. We'll remove your self-governing status and your tax-exempt status. So there's war. This is what we're seeing, is war and fighting, enmity on both sides. Why? We also see this, of course, with our belief that there is truth, right? Absolute truth from the Word. The other side says, no, truth is relative. We just make it up, whatever we want. We believe in morals. They say it's whatever goes. Anything goes. We say it's God. He's the king. They say we don't want God. We say it's the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is inerrant. They say, no, it isn't. It's full of errors. It's an old book. Throw it out. We say Christ is the only way. And they say, no, He's one of many ways, or we don't want Him at all. So if you want to see the division in the world today, just mention Jesus' name, and you'll see the hot emotions and sparks that fly on both sides, one loving it and one hating the name. You can see the division The enmity, the war, the strife. It's almost like we're living in an armory filled with gunpowder and people are walking around lighting matches and there are voluminous explosions of words and strife on account of it. It's kind of exciting times to live in, eh? Yeah, it is good. It's exciting. But now, what should be our perspective on these things as Christians? Why the division in the world between people? Why can't we all just get along? Why all this battling and raging and war and conflict and passions on both sides? Why can't we all just get along? Well, if we don't understand this biblically, we're going to start freaking out at all the division. If we understand it biblically and clearly, you're going to be so much more settled and you'll look at these things with a steady eye and not be so disturbed by them. Why is there so much division and trouble in the world today? Answer is because, according to God's word, ultimately in this book, there are only two families on the earth today. And they are at war and at odds with each other by God's decree, and such and so shall it be to the end of time. Really? Is this true? Only two families? Let's take a look. Open up to Genesis chapter 3. You know, Adam and Eve sinned, right? Then God had words for Adam. God had words for Eve. Then he spoke to the serpent, the dragon, the devil, Satan. He said these words. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you've done this," enticed them to sin, "cursed are you above all cattle and above all wild animals. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." Watch this. "And I will put enmity," say the word enmity, "between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Say, "between your seed and her seed."
Between your seed and her seed.
Enmity between these two families, the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, the dragon. There's going to be warfare and strife. It says, "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." Who is ultimately the fulfillment of the seed of the woman? Jesus Christ. He is the seed that pierces the dragon's head, even as on the cross, the dragon pierced his heel. So Jesus came to defeat the dragon. But it's also the line of the righteous, the Christians, the sons of God. The seed of the woman are going to be at war, enmity, with the sons of the dragon. Two families. And they're going to clash over time. Is it by God's decree? He says, "I will put enmity." That word in the Greek, in Hebrew, is eba. Enmity, hatred, hostile minds, strife and war and warfare. I'm going to put that between these two families. The sons of God, on the one hand, they're not sinless people, but people who call upon God by faith as their Savior. And on the other side, you have the seed or the sons of the dragon. Take a look, for example, where is it? The bulletin cover. These are the two families. Look, here's an ancient Christian knight, a crusader, with a sword, fighting against the dragon. These are the two families, the sons of God versus the sons of the evil one. And these two will clash. These two will be at war with each other to the end of time. Therefore, there will be division. The Hatfields and the McCoys, remember that story? They clashed and fought forever, but for no good purpose. The sons of God and the sons of the evil one will clash and fight forever, but it's for a good purpose, because it's a holy and royal fight. God has so ordained it. So, this is already super helpful to us, isn't it? Because if you don't understand that this is why we're having division, you'll be like freaking out. It's like, oh my goodness, why can't we get along? There's so much division. Why is all this hatred? Why is all this enmity? Why is all this warfare? But if we look at the Bible, it's the clash of two families. It is a royal war. That's just the way it is ordained to be until the end of time. The two fight it out. Is this really the case? We saw it in Genesis, but did it happen down through the history, the same ancient war down through the ages? Look at the very next thing that happens in Genesis. Over in Genesis 4, Adam knew his wife. She conceived and bore Cain and said, "I've gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again, she bore his brother Abel. Did they get along? Was it all peachy keen, loving brother to brother? Or was there war and strife between these two? We read from John the Apostle, speaking of Cain. Cain was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. So you have the righteous on the one hand, that family, and then you have the wicked, and they clashed, and there was war. And so also we see these families clashing down through time, because to Adam and Eve was born Seth, and he was another man instead of Abel, for Cain slew Abel. To Seth also was born a son, Enosh. At that time, men began to call upon the Lord. So look at these two families, the Christian crusader over here, sons of God, sinners, but who call upon the Lord as Savior. On the other side is the clash with the other family, the sons of the evil one, the dragon, and they fought down through history in pre-flood days. Did that continue after the flood? Absolutely. Look at Moses and Pharaoh. Did they get along? Were they just chums? Hey, Pharaoh, let's hang out together. No. You read of that Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." Was he a faithful one? He's over here on this side, the Christian crusader, the faithful, calling on that. What does the son of the dragon say, Pharaoh? He says, "I do not know this God. I will not let your people go." One believes in God, one doesn't. Clash of two families. Check it out, David and Goliath. One believed in God, one didn't. Because we read the Philistine said,
"I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together."
And he cursed David then later, remember, by his gods, the demons. Jesus says, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I'll go and fight with him." And he went and he struck him down. "You come to me, Goliath, in the name of your demon gods, and with a sword and spear and javelin, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied, and I'll strike you down this day." And he did. What is this but the clash of the two families? I want you to see it's through history. What we're experiencing today is no different. Elijah fought the 400 prophets of Baal, and they against him, the clash of two families. Jeremiah against his adversaries, and they fought against him, the clash of two families. And we see this most especially in Jesus Christ. John chapter 8. Jesus says to the Jews, he says, "If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." You know, he's over here. He's the true seed of the woman, this guy, the Christian crusader, the Son of God, seeking to convert the sons of the evil one, the dragon, to become Christians and be saved. But what does he say about these two families in that situation? "I speak of what I've seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your Father." Two families, right? Amen? Say two families. It's the clash. Right here, we see it. The same battle in our Lord. They said, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said, "If God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. But now you seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I heard from God." He says, "Why don't you understand what I say? It's because you can't bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. For he," the dragon here, "was a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing to do with the truth, for there's no truth in him. And as goes the father, so goes the son. You're seeking to kill me. And you don't hear my words because you're not of my family." Right? You're of your family, the devil. So notice, is there a clash of two families? Jesus says to the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees, he says, "You are a brood of vipers," dragons, in other words. But he's seeking to convert them over to his side, the family of God. That's what he came for. The apostles had the same warfare. "Speak no more in this man's name." That's what we're hearing today, right? Censorship. "We're going to kick you off of YouTube if you mention Jesus' name." Same thing. They said, "We cannot but speak of Christ's name." And they fought against it. They said, "We will speak anyway." The warfare. Luther faced that. Don't speak. Don't say we're justified by faith in Christ as a gift. Luther says, "Unless I'm convinced by Scripture, here I stand, I can do no other. So help me God." The war raged then too. So are our days really any different? We're getting freaked out by them, kind of, if we don't understand that there's a clash of two families. But if we understand there's a clash of two families, according to God's word, his decree, enmity, these will clash over time, we're like, no new news here. This is all old stuff. This is just the ancient war just playing itself out in our day. What are the two families like? I mean, our family, Christians, sinners saved by grace, calling upon God's name, faithful, what do we love? We love freedom. Amen? We love life. We want to fight for the children and sanctity of life. We love God's word. We love defending the poor. We love righteousness. We love prosperity and helping people. We like to sacrifice and lay down our lives and serve somebody other than ourselves, serve our King. We fight for the truth. We fight and love God. We love His word, and we love Christ as the only way. These are all great. What's the other family do? They love death. Therefore, they love abortion, and they pull their hair out if they don't get it. They like violence. They like deception. They like trickery, like their father the devil. They like evil. They hate the Bible. They don't want to hear it. And if you really want to see who's of which family, just use Jesus' name, quote his word, and see what the reaction is. They hate it. They don't want him. They don't want him as their Christ. And so there's a clashing of two families. Does this at least give you a little bit of peace? Look, there's nothing new here. All this craziness in our day, it's just the same old war. We've already been fighting this for all the generations of decade that you've been here so far. Just the same war. Just keep fighting. It's okay. And besides, though, it does seem like it's getting worse, though, doesn't it? A little hotter. I mean, if evil at least used to kind of pretend to be righteous, now they're just out of the closet, outrageous. They're saying things that are, you know, we'll kill babies outside the womb, they say. That's perfect. That's a woman's right. What are you talking about? This doesn't even appear righteous. Well, what's going on is also something God tells us about. It's just that the two families, the sons of God and the sons of the evil one, are coming into full manhood. They're just growing up. They're just reaching full fruit. Jesus tells us that in his parable, doesn't he? Remember, the kingdom of God may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the seeds, the weeds also appeared. And the servants of the householder said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds?" "An enemy has done this," he said. The servant said, "Then did you want us to go gather them up? Take out the weeds?" "No," says the owner of the field, "lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, and gather the wheat into my barn." So what do we see here? There's wheat and there's tares. What do we see by this clash of two families? What does Jesus say in describing this parable? "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." So God, any good in the world that comes from God and Jesus. The field is the world. And the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. And the weeds are the sons of the evil one. What is Jesus teaching? There's a clash of two families on the earth. The sons of God versus the sons of the dragon. And they're going to clash to the end of time. What are they going to do? Grow up together. Why should we be bothered? There's so much evil in the world today. We're just growing up alongside the tares. There's the wheat, there's the tares, the sons of God, the sons of the evil one. Both are to grow together. But the good news for us is that when we see evil increasing in the world, that's just because they're growing up. They're just becoming men. They're reaching their full maturity. The tares are getting to the top. That's why they're so outrageous. We understand that. When the evil grows up, it's going to, in the end, look more like their father, the devil, namely, crazy, wily, unjust, enslaving, violent, murderous, and evil. What's the good news about this? You're growing up too, right? Don't forget that the wheat, the sons of God, the Christian knights on this side, are growing up too. You're coming into full manhood. You're coming into maturity. Amazingly great time to live, wouldn't you say? Because you're becoming, by the day, by the hour, by the minute, more courageous, more convicted, aglow with the Spirit, bearing abundant fruit for the Lord, triumphing and winning. That's just the way it goes. And the harvest is the close of the age, Jesus says, and the reapers are angels. For just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So don't be so troubled at all this wickedness going in the world today. Yeah, I get it, it's troubling, but it's just the ancient war. And if it's increasing and getting more outrageous, just because we're growing up. Just because we're both sides are becoming men and fighting with a greater conflict. But it's all right because the king is coming and he sees everything. He's sustaining you and he's going to give you the victory, as we just read a moment ago. So how does this view of having these two clashing of these two families help you and inspire us today as we go through this world? Well, first of all, hey, it reminds us that life is not just about picnics and barbecues, right? We tend to think, it should just be easy. Our journey to heaven and the kingdom above and the castle there where God is, should be just a cakewalk, easy. But this reminds us, God teaches us in his word, it's a fight. We're crossing a battlefield and we're arming ourselves for the fight, and that's a good thing. If you don't see this and you just think, why is there all this strife and evil and trouble in the world, you're going to be like, oh, they're outrageous. They're attacking liberties. They're teaching crazy sexual things. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. But if you're understanding of these things, you're like, it's just both of them growing up. Ancient war. I've been fighting this my whole life anyway. It's nothing new here. It's going to go great because it's a royal fight. Remember something today. You're in a royal battle, good versus evil, right versus wrong, the sons of God versus the sons of Satan, Christ versus the evil one, and we're to actually engage in this joyfully, as Christ also ran to the battlefield, for it is a good fight. This prepares our hearts for the battle. Secondly, though, when we do see evil increasing in the world, as it seems to in our day, and it may indeed seems to be increasing, and we have to deal with that, we're not taken aback or shocked by this. You know, it's like temper tantrums. Yeah, that's what I would expect to see from that. I would expect to see yelling and pulling out of hair and threats and thrashing about. Why? Because the war is getting towards the conclusion. It's almost over. You expect them. They know they're losing. They know they're going to be losers in the end. So, of course, they're going to thrash about like their father, and they're growing up to be like him, but their days are numbered, so we don't worry about that. It also inspires us because we know that just as they're growing up, you also are growing up. You're the wheat. Don't ever forget, you're coming to fullness of fruit. You're the sons of God, crusaders. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. This is an exciting time to live. You could have been born when the Christian knight was just a little baby, or maybe a teenager. But now you're in full vitality of virile manhood. You're coming into your own, your prime. This is what it is to be a Christian, the greatest time to live. Haven't you seen that Christians are standing now taller than they have before? Courageous, full of love and faith, holiness, modesty, wisdom, discretion, purity, and power, standing tall by God's grace in the Spirit, to make you stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand and strike down the evil, it's a great time to live, I think. We see that Roe v. Wade, after 50 years, is being overturned. Amazing. Liberty is on its way. Justice is triumphing in many parts of the world as well. We are going to ultimately win, too. These are exciting days to live. Full manhood. Also, this view really helps us because it reminds us what our actual mission is in life. Because at one time, the Bible says, ultimately, we were all sons of the evil one, right? We were all sons of the dragon. Our mission is not to fight and destroy the sons of the devil, but to convert them. Because we were all sons of evil at one time as well, ourselves. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil and to rescue human beings. You've been rescued. You can transfer from one family to the other, as he did. He brought you into the family of God. You are now looking like this guy over here, the crusader. That's awesome. And we are bringing other people to be like us, saved in Christ. For Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Amen? For as many as have believed in Jesus Christ, for you're all sons of God through faith. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And your mission and mine now is awesome. Go out and open their eyes, God says, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place for those who are sanctified by faith in me. We can rescue. We're out here not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. This is a glorious day to live, and you are a part of it. And finally, this view, the clash of the two families, super helps us because it gives us great hope for the present and a great hope for a great future. Because we know that this ancient battle, reaching a climax, is soon drawing to a close, and you are destined to win. It has been written, it's been decreed, so let it be done. Daniel 7 says, the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Great to fight in a fight where you know God has already said ahead of time, you're the winners. So let's go forth with that heart. When the strife is fierce and the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again and arms are strong, hallelujah, says the hymn. And we're heading to a world, friends, where there's going to be no more strife, okay? There will be perfect peace and harmony. Everybody's going to get along and agree marvelously when our King comes. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Let's conclude then with, if I may sing for you, the end of For All the Saints. So may God's soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Clash of Two Families, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We're covering the Book of Romans. Grace Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our souls. And God bless you.